Psalm 122, A Song of Ascents, of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, "Peace be within you." For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Thanks, Jill. Barack Obama there in this first picture. The mural is of Dr. Martin Luther King, leader of the civil rights movement in 1960s America. Obama referenced him regularly during his leadership and even had one of his favourite Martin Luther King quotes weaved into a rug in the Oval Office. It's this one, you may know it. "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice." It's inspiring, hopeful. It suggests that there's evil and there's trial and there's hatred here and now, but that good will prevail in the end. Actually, one of the reasons Obama used this quote was to manage expectations about his own presidency. He found himself often emphasizing the word long in the quote, which the road ahead would be. The first black president knew that it would take more than him being elected to bring about racial justice. Well, the appalling death of George Floyd has reminded all of us how much this remains a task unfinished, whatever side of the Atlantic Ocean we live on. But Dr. King was not naive to believe that the story arc would inevitably bend towards justice. His optimism wasn't based on a dubious notion of inevitable human progress, or the brotherhood of man that John Lennon imagined in his song. No, Dr. King's convictions were grounded in the Christian gospel. Because the big message of the Bible is that yes, the arc is long, but it bends towards justice. It doesn't quite put it that way, but this book tells a story of history where you go down the curve before you come up the curve, where the journey is long, but where righteousness triumphs in the end. Listen to this less well-known quote from Martin Luther King. Actually comes immediately before and is the context for his arc bending towards justice quote. He said, "Good Friday may occupy the throne for a day, but ultimately it must give way to the triumphant beat of the drums of Easter." See, the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ were the root of Dr. King's confidence that we shall overcome. Today we find ourselves in the third of three psalms that in themselves are a microcosm of that bigger story. We began with woe, distress, and injustice, Psalm 120. We moved to a journey with hills ahead, but helped, Psalm 121. Today, Psalm 122 is a taster of the destination, a city of brotherly unity, of justice and peace. I hope if you don't normally join us on a Sunday, you will join us in longing for and reaching for this place. These songs of ascents, as this group of 15 of them are titled, were originally clustered together to buoy up Jewish pilgrims as they ascended on the climb to Jerusalem. In Bible times, that city was established as a showpiece of how good things could be. Jerusalem, Shalom, means city of peace, where all is well between me and my maker, me and my brother. Whether you were King David on the road back from battle, or a weary traveller heading up for the Passover feast, even the thought of being there was supposed to be exciting. Verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Shall we go up, verse 1, literally to Yahweh's place? Oh yeah, that would be so good. Verse 2, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Now, the more refined among you will know that this psalm's been turned into a famous piece of choral music. I was glad. The only reason I know that is because that was the tune that Kate Middleton walked up the aisle to at her royal wedding. It's a dramatic and regal piece of music, befitting in that moment for her. I'm really standing here in the Abbey, about to marry the prince, treading the hallowed turf, touring the city of peace, the city of God. Amazing. This psalm is just a glimpse inside the gates to keep us going in the bigger movement of the songs of ascents. We're not there yet, and we're not there yet. Jerusalem in ancient Israel was a taster of what the last page of the Bible calls New Jerusalem, still to come, that will be God's people's ultimate home. Now, Christians who know their stuff will be quick to point out that the justice Martin Luther King dreamed of will never be fully realized till we get to New Jerusalem. That's right. But are we who know that thrilled at the very thought of being in that place? Or are we glad and settled enough here and now, just as long as the worst of human injustices don't affect me? This psalm is a vision of a better future for all who will trust God to take us there. It's a psalm to buoy us up on our journey. And as we look around the world in June 2020, what a relief to have promises of more than this. Notice a few things here. First, the unity in this place. The language is corporate. Verse 1, let us go. Verse 2, our feet. We've been talking about a personal relationship with God in this series, and we'll say a lot more about that. Here's our first reminder, though, that it's never just about me and him. One of the big features of the city pictured here is of people being together. Verse 3, Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes grow up. The tribes of the Lord. Tribes, that's interesting language in the conversation about racial equality. Some of us will be wired to think of it as a negative word. Tribal, we often think, has the connotation of either being primitive or just parochial. Not in the Bible. Tribes speak of distinct family identities, ethnic groups. Though, to be honest, the tribes of Israel were pretty parochial, plenty of infighting among themselves, which was a disaster because they were supposed to be a united kingdom. A good reminder that even when people are basically the same as us, human divisiveness finds a way. Not in this city. No rubbing out of particular cultures or everyone having to become colour blind so we can keep the peace. And the Christian church needs to apologize for when we confuse one gospel for all with thinking that means one homogeneous culture for all, which usually means white middle class culture for all. And I want to say sorry for where I have been, am part of that problem. There's God-given diversity here, and yet togetherness around the Lord. He is the focal point that unites and defines the tribes of the Lord. They're called, verse 4, all wanting to be part of the crowd, giving thanks to the name of the Lord. The Lord, who we all call to in our different forms of distress, the Lord who was our great helper in all the different ways we needed it. This is actually what was decreed for Israel, notice verse 4, which is to say God's will, his heart for his people then, and the global church now, is a multicolored, multi-ethnic assembly. Again, the picture at the end of the Bible is that kind of picture. See, it's not just a nice, happy accident that the church is multicultural. It's the fulfillment of what has always been God's beautiful, radical plan. Human religions and philosophies tend to have their particular niche, don't they, in a particular country or continent where they fly. The Lord is capable of engaging and uniting every colour, every tribe, every tongue. And the church on earth is supposed to be a picture to the world of this diverse assembly. I wonder how we're doing at being that. Well, when we're in God's city, it will not only be a place of unity, it will be a place of absolute justice. Verse 5. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Maybe you've been wondering where Jesus is in these Psalms. Well, here, on the throne of David. Right at the end of the Songs of Ascents, the king is described in greater detail, wearing a crown that shines. Here he's not mentioned, but his throne of justice is. Step back from the Songs of Ascents for a moment. Martin Luther King's long search for justice is actually a search for a person fit to deliver justice. And the whole book of the Psalms together actually track that very search for the dream leader, if you want to have a look at it and see the wider context. Not only the focus for unity, wonderfully the rivers of peace and justice flow from him. Here is a government that means it when it says Black Lives Matter, that Rohingya lives matter, where it's never one rule for them and another for the rest, where every silent abuse during lockdown is reckoned for, every deceit corrected, remember the lies of Psalm 120, every false charge brought to book. And actually, verse 5 is in a way a picture of a leader wielding a Bible, but only to say, let the beautiful decrees of the Lord go forth. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a never-ending stream. The final verses here are a prayer that these blessings will flow. Because when you have a united people around a perfect leader on a throne of justice, what's that a recipe for? No justice, no peace is one of the slogans well, here is justice. And so from here flows peace. Which the original Jerusalem in some ways was, but usually fragile, and we all know the more recent history of that part of the Middle East. The reason we're praying for peace in verses 6 to 9 is because we're not there yet. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of peace. Remember, it's a prayer that it will live up to its name. May they be secure who love you. Security here is a word that's much deeper than technical safety. It's more like being at ease, a nation at ease with itself, one of our prime ministers promised. It's a great aspiration, and yet so difficult to come by. If we've lived a relatively charmed life, we may find the thought of a city of justice and security a bit boring. But tell this to anyone who's been institutionally prejudiced against, or persecuted, or lived through war. Verse 7, peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. This is a prayer ultimately asking God to make this happen. You know, some people worry that Martin Luther King's quote could just make us all a bit too passive. I mean, if it's bending towards justice inevitably, we don't have to fight for anything, right? Well, that's certainly not how Dr. King meant it when you look at his life. But it's a good question. How much do we need to campaign for a better world if God's going to bring one about anyway? Well, there's nothing passive when you look at the New Testament church. We have the choice to march or not, but rooting out all partiality is a necessary implication of being a Christian. Of course it is. I mean, remember, we've just looked at the beautiful multi-ethnic community that God has formed us to be. And rooting that partiality out will begin with the finger pointed in this direction. Do I have racism we need to repent of? Every ethnic group harbours racism. This is not just a black-white issue. At Euston Church, we've talked a lot about London as this great global crossroads, but I'm feeling challenged. How much have I actually listened to the different ethnic groups that exist among us? How it feels to be you here? Easy to criticise President Trump for holding up our Bible, but how are we Christians doing at living out this Bible? Do we show partiality, bias, conscious or otherwise, even in our church family life? Do we seek the good of the communities we live in? Are we a force for reconciliation in them? Are we telling despairing people in this city about the better city? That's the greatest good, actually, we can do for anyone. And the appeal is, well, when you see what God has planned, don't you want to be there? When you see what he's like, when you know the lengths he has gone to for you to make this possible. There's nothing passive about the church on earth. And yet, our greatest form of activism is that we're to be active in prayer for God to do something that we can never do. See, evil and sinful hearts will always spoil this world somehow, even if we can bring about an end to racial prejudice. New Jerusalem has to come down from heaven at the end, which is to say, we can't build it here. And that's why the personal journey with the Lord that we're talking about in this series involves regularly appealing to him to do what he has promised. Peace, Lord, please. Justice, bring that better city. You leavers who are heading off from London, in all that you get up to and the good that you do on the journey ahead, please don't lose sight of the destination. Keep living now for its sake. Because thankfully, there's more than this. One day, our feet will actually be standing within the gates. And that's the reason that we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.